Well, it's wonderful to see you all here this morning. It was sweet to come out of the office, hear all those voices, everybody having that time of fellowship and getting to see each other. So we're so thankful that you could be here. We welcome those that are watching online this morning, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful and we give praise to your name this morning. Lord, we do desire to shout to you and shout unto our Lord for your great mercies and loving kindness to us. And we pray, Lord, that you might be pleased to bless us this morning with your presence and the work and blessing of your Spirit in the lives of your people, that the illumination of the truth from your word would be fed to our hearts, our lives, our souls, that we might walk in a manner worthy of you and be fruitful unto every good work that you have called us to. Give us strength, Lord God, your strength, and give us wisdom, God, your wisdom. And we proclaim that you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, O Lord. For you have created all things, and for your will they exist and were created. And we're thankful for the Lamb who was slain. And we acknowledge that glory and honor and power and might and strength and wealth belong to the Lord of Lords, to the King of Kings, to the Prince of Peace, to our Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord, that our hearts might be drawn to that worship of you and who you are, that we may proclaim your glories and that we may rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, and ask now that you would guide us through this study of the book of Romans, a study that in your word you have spoken to us through the Apostle Paul and through that communication of your Holy Spirit. And we pray that the church would be strengthened with might, for you are our rock and our fortress, our shelter. In troubled days, we ask for that extra measure of grace for us as your people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, okay, I'm getting a little ring from the mic up here. Thank you. Yeah, I think he took care of that for us. Well, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to actually read from verse 12, and we'll pick up with the verses. I'm going to actually go back a few verses from last week since they were covered so quickly, and so we want to make sure that we're laying hold of these wonderful truths in the book of Romans. Beginning in verse 12, I'll read out loud, you follow along. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered in the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through the one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. And the law came in that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded but all the more, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And we want to take a look at this wonderful passage of Scripture because I want to speak to you about the... it's a difficult passage. It's an interesting change that takes place as we get to these last verses in chapter 5. And we see... And I was talking with Alan about it this morning. It seems that in the studies that you're seeing these Greek constructions of sentences, but when you get to this part that we want to look at this morning, verses 16 through 21, there's a kind of a, it seems to me that there's a change to the Hebrew mindset, because Paul is going to something that's used frequently in the Psalms, these parallel things that run through the Psalms, a statement that's followed by another parallel statement. And in this case, they're antithetical parallelisms that Paul brings up in these verses. So it's interesting, because when I got to them, it became difficult to see, okay, what's going on here, because it was like this shift in the Scripture. But this morning I want to speak to you about the reign of grace and what the work, the act of righteousness, the accomplishment of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary introduced into the world. So if we look at chapter 1 or chapter 5 and verse 1 here, it begins the chapter, therefore, having been justified by faith. So Paul has built all of this instruction and teaching about what it means to be justified by faith in the work of Jesus Christ, because God made him to become sin on our behalf. He was the Lamb of God, and his work, this act of righteousness, what it did is it opened the door for this grace to flow into the world. The grace through the work of Jesus Christ, the power of God and the salvation that Paul speaks of in chapter 1 is being addressed here. And we find there in verse 2 of this chapter, through whom we also have obtained access into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We boast in the power of God, the power of salvation, not only because we've been justified by faith and received reconciliation from God, but also because we've received this access into God's grace, this access that frees us. And it's the gift of righteousness that has been imputed from the Lord Jesus into our account. And that's basically what's being declared in these verses that we're looking at. It's a beautiful, wonderful passage and truth in God's Scripture in regard to the glory and the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus and the salvation that we have in Him. So we're going to consider the benefits of our justification here in these verses. The benefits of our justification. What does it mean that having been justified, we have peace with God and we have now obtained this wonderful access into that grace wherein we stand in Christ Jesus? It means that God's righteousness, Jesus Christ's righteousness, has been imputed into our account not only for the sake of our justification before a holy God from our sin, but also that gift of righteousness might be given to us, that we might live and walk and have and experience the Christian life and what it fully means for the victory and the power of God's grace and this gift of righteousness to be given unto us. So we're looking at the benefits of justification. And what we want to say here as we look at verse 16, if we can look at verse 16 in our passage, Romans 5, verse 16, and it says, "The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification." Now, here's the kind of the parallelism that we're talking about. There's the condemnation. There's the justification. There's the free gift. There's the transgression of Adam. The free gift of our Lord Jesus Christ in His work, there's the transgression of Adam, and these things are paralleled. And if we go back to chapter 1 and look at what we've studied, the power of God unto salvation, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And this horrible transgression, one transgression, has been imposed on the human race to death. The transgression came and death entered into the world to all men. That's humanity's horrible state through Adam and through the transgression. But through the gift of righteousness which came through Jesus Christ, there's a whole new thing. And so by grace, righteousness reigns in life because of the one act of Jesus Christ. One transgression by Adam, one act of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's something that we should shout to the Lord about. It's something that we should boast in the glory of God about. It's something that once we see it, and I pray that God gives us a vision, an illumination of the reality of this truth in our lives, that we might walk before Him in light of the glory of God, in light of the power of the work that Jesus Christ did, and the glory of what's taken place here that's being described in this passage. So we're seeing that the free gift abounds. It is the gift of grace. It is the gift of righteousness. So what we could not do through the law, and this issue with the law that comes up, you know, from the very beginning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. This theme of the Jew being first is addressed all the way through these five chapters. And Paul returns to it here because what we could not do through the law, this gift of righteousness that has been given to us is accomplished by the power and through the glory of our Lord Jesus. It's reason for us to boast in the glory of God and the power of God and in the salvation of God. It is global in its scope. It is the transgression versus the free gift. Both were one to many, and the free gift was much more by quality of what He accomplished, by quality of His work. It's glorious and global in scope. The gift of grace, the gift of righteousness that has been given to us, the quality of what God did through Jesus Christ is indescribable for us this morning. So by grace, righteousness reigns in life. We're looking at the grace of our Lord God, the grace that came through that one act of righteousness for our Lord Jesus Christ when He said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." And He went to the cross of Calvary to bear your many transgressions, our many sins, on the cross of Calvary and pay the full penalty for those. And so salvation is by grace through faith in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. So there are many transgressions that are forgiven through Christ's work. One work, one act, and many transgressions have been forgiven. When you think about that, when you begin to to think of the glory of it. It contrasts this fact that there's one trespass, but there's also one act of righteousness, one work that Jesus Christ did to, as the Lamb of God, to take away our sin, to take it away. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he separated our transgressions from us. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. So the negative is that Adam's condemnation is removed. And of course, the positive is that this gift of righteousness, this one act of righteousness, has been imputed to our accounts, given as a free gift, given as something undeserved, given by the mercies and grace of our Lord and God. So we rejoice. And I just want to make the point that when we look at it and we consider and what we've discussed and what we discussed last week, that this one transgression, it's like, what's that all about? I mean, through one sin. And it shows us, it tells us the gravity of what sin is before God. The gravity of what it means for one single sin. Death entered in the world and it spread to all men and it was imputed to us. We didn't even do anything. But the gravity of sin is very serious. And so if we understand what the book of Genesis tells us about the problem of evil that comes into the world, we understand what's being addressed here. But there's a good illustration that was given, and I think of it in terms of there used to be a bear that would come on TV. It was called Smokey the Bear, and he was by the forest rangers. They had an advertisement, and Smokey the Bear would say, "Only you can prevent a forest fire." But the idea of a forest fire is, and of course they would have this picture where somebody flips a cigarette out into the forest there, lights a tree which lights a forest, and that's kind of the picture that we get of sin entering the world. It's just one act. It's just one thing. But there's a transgression of that command, and that command statement that God gave Adam was, not, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. And so that one transgression caused death to spread over all of the world. And what we see is in our cemeteries is the truth of what God's Word tells us. We can go to any cemetery in any town or any place in our country or in the world, and we see the effects of sin. We see the effects of sin by disease. We see the effects of sin by the trouble and the things that happen here, because when God created things, all things were attributed as it were spoken of as being good. So the match that lit death and brought death into the world brought it over globally in its scope. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. The scripture tells us that transgression is willful rebellion. It's disobeying Smokey the Bear and tossing the cigarette, striking the match, or doing something, doing one thing that causes something global in its scope. It is imputed when it is a direct command that's violated. These are the major principles that we need to understand. What it does is it causes us to fear sin, to hate sin, to understand how bad sin is. And Paul spends a lot of time doing that very thing in these verses. Okay, so the offense then is it speaks of in verse 14, if you go back, it says, those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. An offense is a willful disobedience of something that has been spoken, that has been commanded, which God did to Adam, and then it occurred again with Moses. And this is significant because the scripture teaches us in several places there. We find it in chapter 4 and verse 15 as well, that the scripture says, "And for the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there's neither violation. Sin is not imputed when there's not law." And so Paul makes this point that from Adam and then again with Moses, that there were transgressions because there were commands that were violated, commands that God gave and spoke to us. But it says, nevertheless, that sin reigned over all men. And we looked at the description of that in chapter 1. The wrath of God comes upon all men because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, and they rebel against that light which is given to them. And so death was upon all men and expressed in all men. And then secondly, there's in verse 16, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. So one sin brought all of this death. One act of righteousness justifies the many, and it resulted in many transgressions being forgiven. So one sin, death, globally in the scope. One act of righteousness, life, globally, offered, freely offered. It's not promoting universal salvation for all people. It's saying that salvation by grace, by God's grace through faith in the work that Christ did, is our salvation. And it abounded to many through many transgressions. So we find this in this, that the quantity of the act that Christ did, that many transgressions have been forgiven. We find that the judgment from one transgression resulted in condemnation, and then the free gift from many transgressions resulted in justification. So the free gift accomplishes the forgiveness of many transgressions. We find this stated in Scripture a number of places, but in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." So we think of the gravity of this is that when Jesus Christ arose from the grave, when he conquered death, that he ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And there ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father, he is an advocate. He is a mediator for us. He has he works on our behalf for when we sin. But notice what the Scripture says here. I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at this more, because what it says is that many transgressions have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Have your attention here. Think about the reality that every past, present, and future sin, everything that you've done against God's word, every act that you have failed in, the Scripture tells us that he himself became the propitiation for our sins. It is global in its scope. It is complete in the work that Jesus Christ did through that one act of righteousness on the cross of Calvary. The forgiveness of our sins was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens when we come up short, because the Scripture says that we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? And I don't know about you, but I'm pretty distant from that, a long way from that. It's like all that the Scripture says, that the wages of our sin is death, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a long way to the glory of God. It's a long way to there. But Christ has provided what was necessary, and it's been imputed to our account. That righteousness has been given to us. It's imputed from Christ's righteousness. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, and he has cared for our sins. Now, something, one of the issues that's going to come up is, if many transgressions are forgiven, why don't we just sin and that grace may abound? Because that's what the Scripture is going to say. And Paul is going to address that. But the point is that through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, there's access into grace and freedom for us to live a godly life. Freedom for us not by the works of the law, not by the works of the flesh, but by access into this grace wherein we stand, access by grace through faith in the work of Jesus Christ, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the reign of His grace, the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to you, all who believe in Him. He's caused you to be regenerate, born again, and given life to you. It's a wonderful thing that God has done. And so when we look then at verse 17, if by the transgression of one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Do you understand that the gift of Christ's righteousness has been given to you? And notice what the Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, because this is the message that's being given. You know, we hope in our tribulation because that hope will not be ashamed, because God has poured out His love into our heart through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's given unto you. The Holy Spirit, the gift of righteousness, is that the Holy Spirit has transformed our life. We've been born again. We've been transformed. We've been given new desires, new attitude, a new heart in Jesus Christ. And it's the glory of what God has done. And the gift of righteousness will reign through Jesus Christ in the lives of His people. And what does that mean? It means that God's grace overcomes what we could not do by our own works or by the work of the law. So, and here's one of the great and truly wonderful things. The abundant grace supplies righteousness in life. And here's one of the thoughts, the illustration that I got from one of the translators. There's a higher degree of certainty in our future glory that we have in Christ Jesus that is more certain than death. Okay? You get the picture here. We look at the cemetery and we see the inevitable end of each one of our lives, that we're all going to end up there in pretty much an unmarked place, like the flower of the field, so the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof knows it no more. And we see that the inevitability of that death is most certain. But what is even more certain than the death that we look at on a daily basis is the glory of the resurrection that we have in Jesus Christ. The glory of what He's done. It is certain because of this gift of righteousness, because of the reign of grace through Jesus Christ, or because of the accomplishment that He did on the cross of Calvary for you and me. Death reigns through the transgression of Adam. The picture is of a sovereign tyrant reigning over mankind. And we can see how the effects are. It's kind of like the COVID-19 virus that spreads. It says that death spread unto all men. That was the fate. But greater than that, death speaks of separation physically of the soul from the body and spiritually of the soul from God. So it's not just physical death, but it's spiritual separation from God. And the world is full of cemeteries. But just as certain as that death is for you and for me, More certain still is the resurrection and the life that we have in Jesus Christ. It is certain. What Christ accomplished can't be defeated. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame the grave through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the surpassing value of knowing His grace. Look at that Romans 5:17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more. Romans 5:17. Much more. Death reigned. Could we change, please? Death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, reigns in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So grace and righteousness will reign through Christ. The reign of grace is abundant in its quality and also rich in its quality, and it's expansive, universal, global in its scope and rule. It is abundant grace. It is exceeding in measure. The gift of righteousness is the access to grace by faith that we find and that is given to us in this chapter. Christ's work is greater in nature. It's greater in power. It's greater in effect than death, than the transgression of Adam and the sin that was imputed to mankind's account because of Adam. So we find here the passage of Scripture in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, He, God the Father, might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Just to be enraptured in the arms of His loving kindness, in His grace, in the surpassing riches of His grace, and that the Spirit of God would turn our heart and our mind and our reality onto the glory of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where life is. It's where abundant life is. It's where eternal life is. It's where the fullness of joy that Jesus Christ spoke of is. It is the surpassing riches of His grace. And listen, we've been given access by faith into that grace wherein we stand. God has done it. He has done the ultimate for you because in His great love for you, He poured out His love for you and gave to you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of righteousness. That gift, that Spirit of God within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the righteousness that is needed and necessary, Christ in you and that righteousness which attains to the glory of God, has been given by grace, and we've been given access to it. By grace, we're given spiritual life, then. The gift of the Holy Spirit is that spiritual life. By grace, we're given spiritual life. Okay? So, justification of life equals spiritual life. And this is the point that I want to make from verse 18. Let's look at verse 18, by grace we've been given spiritual life. And it says in verse 18, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. It's interesting what's said here in this passage, because this term of righteousness or justification is used in different ways, and there's different forms of it used, but it says that that the act of righteousness through the one act of righteousness. So that there's this word means an act. It's a deed, an accomplishment that was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Through that one act of righteousness resulted a justification of life. So, and this justification of life is the imparted spiritual life in regeneration. It's what happens when we become born again. We enter into who Christ is. We enter into the family of God. We enter into the righteousness of Christ. We're born again because the Spirit of God comes to indwell us, and it awakens us to the truth and to the reality of spiritual life, of life with God through Christ's one act of righteousness. So Adam's righteousness, his transgression resulted in condemnation. All men are either born again once to condemnation in Adam, or they're born a second time to justification in Christ. And this is the parallelism that Paul is drawing between Adam 1 and Adam 2, between Adam in the garden and Jesus, the Messiah. Adam's one transgression resulted in that condemnation, and Christ's one act of righteousness resulted in justification to life. The righteousness of life is imparted spiritual life and regeneration. It's what is true about you as God's people. And I realize that some of you may have come here this morning in a miserable state, acknowledging and realizing that I'm plagued with my flesh and sinfulness and self-centeredness, and I don't know where the joy of the Lord is. But I want to tell you this morning that the joy of the Lord is right there within our reach, because we've been given access into this grace. And He has not only justified us, we've been justified by faith and given peace with God. We've been reconciled to God, and we have the freedom from the release of the bondage of sin and the bondage of death. The glory of God has been given through Christ Jesus. Christ's one act of righteousness resulted in not only your justification, but in the grace that has been given. And spiritual life is given to you. That's why you have a desire for something more. Because the Holy Spirit that has been set in our hearts and lives, given to us, has brought with it life out of that spiritual death that took place through Adam and was imputed to our account, given to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have Adam, one sin or transgression, condemnation to all men. Christ, one act of righteousness, justification, and the gift of righteousness to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam's disobedience resulted in many that are appointed to sinners. Look at verse 19. For as through the one man's disobedience, many were made, that word can be translated appointed, or it can be translated ordained. Okay? So Adam's sin ordained for us to be sinners. You know, we woke up that way. We were born that way. David said I was conceived in my mother's womb, that there was sin there. There's a declaration in Psalm 51 that was our fate, because many were made sinners through Adam. It was imputed to us. Even so, through the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Appointed, ordained to be righteous through Jesus Christ. Not something that we did, not something that we earned or deserved, not something that we worked for, but something that was given to us by our Lord Jesus. Adam's disobedience resulted in many appointed sinners. Christ's obedience resulted in many appointed to righteousness. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God. We've been given by the gift of righteousness access to life in Christ. So Christ's obedience resulted in many appointed to righteousness. And here we come to the third point in verse 20. By grace, righteousness will reign. Because in Adam, the reign of sin and death, condemnation resulted. We inherited corruption, and it was ours by nature. In Christ, the reign of life and grace, justification came, the gift of righteousness, and it's ours by not nature, but by grace. By grace, through faith, the gift of righteousness, the reign of God's grace has been offered up freely to all who will come, to any who will trust in His name and in His power and in His work, His one act of righteousness. By grace, righteousness will reign in Jesus Christ. I pray that righteousness reigns in the life at Grace Bible Church, because it's all here. It's been given to us. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are made available, not by our work, not by keeping the law, and by the strength of our will and determination of our minds, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me, for I am the vine and you are the branches. My life is to flow through you. And we're to have such an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that the grace and the power and the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ flows through His people. And that's joy. That's something that is indescribable, and yet it's described for us in the Scripture. It's taught to us here that we may have access by grace into this faith wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, because the power of God has been manifested. It has been given as a free gift in Jesus Christ. So the point being here in verse 20, when transgressions increase, grace abounds more. And it's interesting, but maybe you noticed, but let me just walk through it real quickly, because there's a repeated theme that goes through these verses. If you look back in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, much more than having now been justified, much more, much more, much more grace. It reigns. It is abundant in Christ Jesus. Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Are you worried about your inconsistency, about your failure? The Scripture says that much more, that the grace through Jesus Christ, He, having justified you by His blood, will now save you from the wrath of God that's coming on all sin. It's as serious as that one transgression that came. It is a very serious issue. And we have to answer. All men answer and are accountable to their Creator. But the certainty of what the grace reigning in Jesus Christ will accomplish in our life is much more than the death that came through Adam. Looking at verse 10, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned, this is verse 17, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Verse 20, and the law came in that the transgression might increase. So the transgression increases, but the grace abounds much more. And that word is basically, it superabounds. You know, the sin increases, but in opposite to that, antithetical to that, is that the grace superabounds. Yeah, that's where our confidence is. That's where we boast. We boast in the glory of God. We boast in the power of God. We boast in the certainty that God will do in and through us what we could not do for ourselves. What we can't do by the law, what we can't do by men's works, by grace through faith, we have access to that life that is given in Christ Jesus. May we know it. May we grow in the truth that is given from God's Word. So the law came in beside the transgressions to increase it. But back to the law here. It's interesting. After five chapters, he's gone through all this whole process about the wages of sin and death, and he's made that point. But here at the end, he goes back. Why? Because the Jews are first. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jews were given the law. They were given the promises and the covenants. And the law was the issue between the Jewish people that Paul was speaking to about their relationship with God. And he was saying that the law came in beside the transgression, not to save you, but to increase sin, to increase the transgression, to make it bigger, to make it evident. And so we became accountable to God through His grace. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and that all the world may become accountable, because by the work of the law no flesh will be justified in His sight. For through the law comes knowledge of sin. It increases. It increased under Adam 1. But with that increase, the grace superabounds. The law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is also no violation. There is more grace in Jesus than there is sin in the world. That's the reality. So in your miserable state, as your flesh wars against the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God wars against the flesh, may you know the power and victory, the certainty of that, and boast in the glory and in the power of God and in the reality of that gift of righteousness that He's given to us in Jesus Christ. Because you didn't earn it. It's simply a gift. God, by His grace, through your faith, dependent upon the work that Christ did, that's where the victory is. The law increases sin, but grace abounds then. It superabounds. I like the idea that it's again with the Greek, they attach all these prepositions to word roots, and so it's superabounding. And there's a couple of verses here that I would share with you in regard to that. Going back to Romans 3, verse 27. Where then is boasting? Is it excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. There's a law of faith. And the law of faith means that I'm trusting in the gift of righteousness that has been given to me by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His work on the cross of Calvary. That's where we boast. And boasting is that idea of certainty, certainty of our hope. It's knowing with the same assurance that we're going to die and go to the grave and experience physical death, that is a certain outcome for us, that the grace of God is going to accomplish that gift of righteousness in our lives of most certainty. So, and then Romans 3:31 says, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. You remember, Paul taught these things and we looked at these things as we went through our study from chapters 1 through 5. Grace doesn't nullify the law, it establishes it. It accomplishes it in our lives. And so now we come to verse 21. And it reads, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here is really the conclusion of a section where Paul says that grace reigns. And he's going to go from here to address what it means for us to have access into this grace. What it means for us to have the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ, that we're no longer under the bondage of sin, that we're no longer under the reign of death. Sin reigns in fear and bondage of death. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And that's true for unbeliever or believer. You sin, you become a slave to that sin, a slave to the pleasure, a slave to the to the vanity, a slave and in bondage to sin, and it leads to death every time. One single transgression. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 has this to say, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. That means that the Lord Jesus, God in heaven, the Son, God's Son, his only begotten Son, came from heaven. He took upon himself flesh, that through death he might render powerless. This is the reason that he did it. That is one act of righteousness, that through his death on the cross of Calvary, he might render powerless him who has the power of death. It's the death of death. It's all over because eternal life has been given to us in Jesus Christ. So he renders powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of sin? Is your fear based upon the realities of these things that we see in this present world? May it by faith be placed upon the glory of the righteousness of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he has conquered death in the grave. Grace reigns through righteousness, through Christ, to eternal life. That's the glory. That's the power of the gospel that Paul speaks of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So there's freedom in Christ. Grace reigns through righteousness through Christ to eternal life. We're justified by his blood. We're reconciled because of his work. We receive access into that grace. And to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. I always have trouble saying that word. The unfathomable riches. We can't perceive it. It's the indescribable gift. It's the unspeakable gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for us through God's great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And an ultimate expression of love was that Christ on the cross of Calvary was willingly laid his life down. He willingly shed his blood, that that blood might cover your sin and that you might know eternal life. They're unfathomable are the riches of Christ. And 1 Peter 4 says, each one has received a special gift and employ it in serving one another as stewards in the manifold grace of God. That gift of righteousness, that grace of God abounds in God's people, and I see it in your lives. It's wonderful to see Grace Bible Church in action. Grace Bible Church loving the Lord. Grace Bible Church loving their brothers and sisters and their neighbors and expressing the manifold grace of God in the gifts of God that the Holy Spirit has given to each one of you. It's wonderful to see and to know these things in our church, but it's the expression of that one gift that is being manifested in diverse ways, manifold, diverse ways. It has been given to us to his greater glory. May God go with you this week, and may we lay hold of this reign of grace, of this gift of righteousness, of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what's most needful for our world today is that God's people live in light of his grace. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great mercies. We thank you for the manifold grace of God, for the indescribable gift that has been given to us by your great loving kindness, because you poured out your love within us by the gift of your Spirit. And we pray, Lord God, that you might, by the power of your Spirit, order our steps in accordance with the word and the truth that you have proclaimed to us, that we would, by faith, lay hold of that truth, that we would, God, find access, that you might order our steps in your word, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we go out into the world, that the realities of the grace of Jesus Christ, that the certainty of that eternal life that has been given to us, that the certainty that death has been banished, that there's been death put to death through Jesus Christ and through his one beautiful and marvelous work of grace on the cross of Calvary. Lord, if there's anyone here that's never put their trust in you, there's anyone here that is listening online that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that needs to be ushered into that grace, I would tell you, must be born again. And you're born again by the power of God, but it's by God's grace through faith, through trusting in him, through trusting in his word. It's simply a matter of asking him. There's not any great gymnastics or theatrics that we go through. It is simply calling out to God, because he can hear. He will hear you. And you pray and you ask, God, forgive my sin and give to me the eternal life that has been won in the grace of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. I put my trust in you. And it's simply then a matter of believing what Jesus said. He said, anyone that beholds the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. His word is good to you. He will give you eternal life. He will raise you up from the grave on the last day. That's the power of Jesus Christ. It's what he was able to do and willing to do to all who will call upon the Lord, to all who will seek his salvation. For it is through faith, it is through the work of faith, through the act of faith and trusting in his integrity and in his power to do what he said he would do, that we find eternal life. For it's in Christ's name that we pray this morning, Lord. Amen.